It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Welcome to the Kim Munson Show, and Happy New Year to each and every one of you. We are at 2021, putting 2020 behind us. It was a most interesting year in many aspects, blessings and challenges for sure. And to each and every one of you, my listeners, thank you for listening. I so appreciate you. I love hearing from you. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com and go to our website, sign up for our weekly newsletter. I am so grateful to work with this amazing team, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy New Year to you, producer Steve.
Oh, yeah, caught me. You know, Everybody's talking about what a year that last year that we left behind us has been, and so many humorous ways of looking at it. But you know what the official drink of 2020 was?
What?
A colonoscopy prep.
I think on that note, we'll just move on. In studio with me is one of the blessings of 2020 is I gained a new friend. And that is Reggie Carr. Reggie, it is great to have you in studio.
Hey, Happy New Year, and I'm definitely glad to be here with you.
It's been quite a year, and we're going to be talking a bit about your life in segments 2, 3, and 4. You became a real supporter of President Trump. Mm-hmm. You've been in the music producer in the black entertainment business for many years, and so it's quite a story. But
yes,
another thing I didn't know about you, Reggie, is that you have, I did know you have such a heart for your fellow man, but you have had a nonprofit for many years that's helped feed people My Mission Hope as well.
Yes. I kind of keep that on the low. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of love. And yes, I've been doing that for about 4.5 years.
And that's a remarkable story. And that segues into what we'll talk about in the last segment, a remarkable woman who has inspired you, and that is your mother.
Yes, Jackie Carr. I love you, Mom.
And so we'll be talking about all of that. It's so good to have you in studio. And Reggie, one of the things that I normally do with each show, and it's really, I've learned a lot as I look for quotes and I think about guests that we have, is I come up with a quote and give a little bit of history on the person who I'm quoting. And Walter Williams, he died in early December 2020, mm-hmm. A great economist. He was black. And this is what Forbes said. It says, the world lost an intellectual giant. This was the first week in December. This week when the economist Walter E. Williams passed away. Williams was the John M. Olin Distinguished Professor of Economics at George Mason University. He was an economist, a scholar, and an unparalleled communicator of economic wisdom and ideas. He loved liberty, he defended it eloquently, and he went to great lengths to show how good intentions don't readily translate into good outcomes. He was born in 1936. He died early December 2020. He taught his class on Tuesday, and he passed on Wednesday. Is that not remarkable, Reggie?
Wow, that's what a way to go out, your last words like that.
I know it. This is what he said. He said, prior to capitalism, the way people amassed great wealth was by looting, plundering, and enslaving their fellow man. Capitalism made it possible to become wealthy by serving our fellow man. What do you think about that, Reggie?
Wow, so before capitalism. So was it socialism then?
Well, I mean, you think about it, and I actually recently did an op-ed. In the old days, the way people took other people's stuff was they came in with weapons, mm-hmm. or they physically enslaved them.
Wow.
But today, you know what they do?
What?
Rules, regulations, not protecting intellectual property rights, letting
there
people
you go.
It's more subtle, but we're still having that happen today.
And he wrote that quote?
He wrote that quote, Walter Williams.
That's great. That's an amazing quote. So now capitalism is here, but it seems like now that they're trying to move away from that again.
They're moving to cronyism.
Okay, I don't know what that is. Help me right there.
Cronyism is where you've got big government and big business and big bureaucrats. They're all in bed together, and they're all scheming different ways to take, take the fruits of the labor of everyday hardworking people. And so it's just more subtle. And that makes me, well, we're going to talk about it when we get to the second segment. But you are becoming famous on a national level. And the Federalist, Helen Raleigh did a piece on you and your business partner, Johnny Thomas, in the Federalist. And she said that one of the things that really came forward with that interview is that you were talking about economic and political freedom is what you really are working for ethnic communities.
Yes, definitely. There is no freedom without economic freedom. And of course, in my community, we're used to a different path, and I'm trying to change that path. That's not the right path. The path, you know, and I didn't even know I was a Republican or a conservative, but then when I started looking at the values and studying and talking to you and learning from you, I'm like, I've always been a conservative, but that situation has to change. We have to get our black people have to come together and invest in our own community, taking all these handouts. And, you know, like I said, it's always like the Democrats, they want to give you, you know, a fish and so they can control you and they can take it away anytime they want. But it seems to me that the Conservative Party wants to teach you how to fish. So that way
you have your fish and you can do with your fish what you want to.
Right.
Oh, Reggie, I'm so looking forward to this conversation. And so we'll be talking about that in the second, third, and fourth segment. And before we get into our second, third, and fourth segment, I just wanted to give a little reflection. First of all, it's been a wild year. And it's been a year that I find it so interesting that really the veil has come off on so many things that were percolating underneath the surface. And I think I'm really grateful, Producer Steve, that we actually now can see what is going on in a way, who the enemy is. And otherwise, it was percolating underneath, as Reggie had mentioned, that, you know, government was coming in saying we were here to help you. But we've realized that actually they have come in and they wanted to control us. And I think that's one of the things about 2020, Steve, that I'm grateful for, that the veil is off, the mask is off, and we know what we're up against.
That might sound like a strange concept to some, but and maybe it was strange to me the first time I heard it, but working with you, I've come to value that all the more, that yes, the veil is off. There's things happening now that are out in the open, and, you know, inquiring minds want to know, I hope they do, to say that, hey, there's no hiding anymore. You guys have, you know, put your cards on the table, whether you're politicians, whether you're rioting in the streets, you know, with one of those groups. We see you now. We know what you're all about.
And with that, I think that with transparency, more transparency, although we see that trying to be tapped down, I think there's great opportunity. So as we are looking into 2021, I say we buckle our seatbelts. We have a lot of work to do. Because we have seen that there, and I've always felt this, not always, I've felt this as I was paying more and more attention, that there has been this assault on the middle class, on people being able to move upward economically. And as Reggie and I were talking, in order to have real freedom, you need to have political and economic freedom. And this scamdemic, what we have seen with it, and I know that COVID is real, and we all know people that have contracted it, and most everybody has survived. Tragically, some people have succumbed to that, but when I say but, I need to take a real look at it. My understanding is that the flu numbers are lower, and of course the COVID numbers are higher, so I don't want to discount those loved ones that have succumbed to COVID. However, we have to look at the real numbers, and it has a survival rate of over 99.9%, and that's of people that have tested positive. That's not as you look at the whole population. And so the veil is off that this has been a real assault on the middle class, the entrepreneurs, and I'd felt it underneath the surface, but now it's really out there. And your final comment on that, Steve?
Well, there's a show that runs every weekday morning before ours, and it was pointed out plainly, your comments just now about, hey, what happened to influenza A and B? Well, as long as hospitals are getting more money for reporting COVID-related deaths or incidences, then this is the way it's going to be.
And that's why we have to put our thinking caps on in 2021 and ask those questions that Rudyard Kipling always asks, and that's who, what, why, when, where, and how. But before we go to break, we'll get back with Reggie Carr. Just a remarkable story in segments 2, 3, and 4. I get to work with a lot of great entrepreneurs, and one of those are the owners of Hooters Restaurants here in Colorado. And they have 5 locations. They're Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And while you're getting together with friends and family this weekend, how about having Hooters cook? They've got a lot of to-go specials, so go to HootersColorado.com for more information. That's HootersColorado.com. And I really appreciate it when you give your business to these great sponsors that I get to work with. Because of them, it's how we get to bring all of this information to you. Search for Truth and Clarity every weekday morning. And, of course, our rebroadcasts in the afternoon and evening. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Reggie Carr. Stay tuned.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I love hearing from you. And Happy New Year to each and every one of you. We have such a special show planned for you today. In studio is one of my blessings of 2020 and a new friendship with Reggie Carr. Reggie, it's so great to have you in studio.
Oh, love it. I love it. New year. Looking forward to the new year.
You know, it's 2020. It was so interesting. It just seemed like I continued to get these kind of, I call them Holy Spirit nudges that just continued to bring us together to work together. And it's just kind of interesting how it all happened.
Kim, I've learned so much from you. 2020 has been interesting. It's a lot of hardships, but a lot of great relationships are built. And, you know, I call you Kim the Great. A lot of people respect and love you, and I hear that it might be there are people trying to get you to run for different offices. And I'm not going to say I'm not one of them, but yeah, it's been a great year, and I definitely appreciate your friendship and your leadership. It's we couldn't have done a lot of things that we did this year without you, so.
Well, let's tell the story of I'm a Trumpster, and you've actually gotten a lot of national attention on this, but you and your business partner, Johnny Thomas, you were working down in Georgia, and tell us this story. I think it's absolutely inspiring.
Well, we were, I was in the studio, and I heard this voice talk about intellectual properties. In the other room, like when you're in a recording studio, every studio has a monitor and you're doing your work and everything. And so somebody had the door open and other was actually coming out of the break room. And so I said, let me go in here and see what this is. And it was at then just Donald Trump. And I just started listening to him, and he instantly captivated me. He was talking about intellectual properties, and I'm just like, wow, this guy is talking exactly what we always say is how do we protect our intellectual properties, our rights, when we're shipping things out of the country to be produced or manufactured or anything like that. And then we find out that our intellectual properties, our merchandise, our slogans, our pictures, whatever they want, they've took and they're selling it. So it goes in their front door. They ship us our stuff, but out the back door in China mainly, they're out selling your product and they're making tons of money, and not just on me, on you know, I'm a little guy, you know. There's, you know, Nike and all these other companies that are there, and in the music they have all this bootleg material that comes through, that goes to them legitimately and then goes out the back door, and they're making tons of money, and you don't see that at all.
And this is primarily from China, and people have gone to China for production of this because it costs less to do that and
right.
get that done. But you had quite a story regarding these intellectual property rights, and that is tell us about that. You're in studio, and this guy comes in and says, you're working on a song?
Yeah, so this is a different day, and we're working on a song in the studio, and this guy says, I know that song. We're like, yeah, right, you don't know this song, blah, blah, blah. So we're working. He says, no, and he starts like singing the hook of the song. And we're looking at him. We've never seen him before, never met him before. But he's a producer, and he's with a major label. And he spends a lot of time overseas.
Okay.
And so he's the one that told us. He said, like, man, this is like number one in the club charts and all this stuff over there. And he started doing the song.
And that was in Europe, right?
It was in Europe. And we never have ever met this guy ever before in our life. And he knew the song and said, and told us that this was like number one over there in the club charts. And so we was like, wow, this is crazy. And it just verifies.
So explain to our listeners what happened. So you had sent the song or something to get some production done, right, to China?
We sent, like, what happens is, if you're an independent or you're a major, you have to get, you know, CDs have to be duplicated. So you send them to different dub houses, and they're all over the country, and it's much cheaper to do it overseas. So we sent this particular project to China, and they made the copies and did everything they're supposed to do and send it back. And then we're out here in America, you know, trying
promoting.
To promote it and doing everything. And we find out that they took what we had. And they obviously had the actual originals, and so they dubbed it, and they started selling it because I guess they liked it as well. And they started selling it, and it just had their own underground distribution chain, and it just ended up blowing up and going on the charts.
So you decided you're going to help Donald Trump. What did you do?
So I think like after the first year or maybe a year and a half of him being in office, I couldn't believe, I thought everybody would be celebrating this. I'm like, this man for America. And it just, the left was just destroying him, just doing everything they can to gang up on this man. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then I just said, wow, So I said, I got to do something to help my president. So then that's when I put together IMA, and I went to do everything I can to, let the masses know what this man has done, you know, and how it's already helped me business-wise. Like, and some people ask me, well, what did he do to make you more? Well, first of all, if he stops the theft of intellectual property, that means all the things that you create, you can make money on, you know. And so it's a numbers thing, but it's also a respecting. And I learned that the communists and all of that, the dictators and they people outside of this country, they don't care about our laws. They do what they want to do. So Trump was in there to play hardball with these people to protect us. And so I just got on his team 100%.
And with your own money.
Own money. That was good. That was challenging. I went into this from heart, and I went into this and said, hey, I can really help teach what he's saying, and I can verify to my people that this is true. And so I just took my own money and just started up created the logos, slogans, websites, and everything, and just put that together and out there and teach. And because he was getting assaulted from every angle, and it was incredible how the press wouldn't tell the real story. I'm just like, no, I just heard what he said, and I know he's telling the truth. But they come over here, and it's like they edit it, or they don't say something, or they won't. It's just... It's incredible. I didn't know that press was that powerful.
And they are powerful. So you also purchased this 45 foot bust. You started something that you're going to continue on. But it was at that time, it was I'm a Trumpster. You were taking it into ethnic communities to start to educate and teach about the importance of economic and political freedom. And this was very cutting edge.
Yes.
And so you got the, you've been on national TV, CBS, ABC, The Piece of the Federalist, mm-hmm. Black Entertainment Television.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, you are getting so much press on that, but you still have not really been embraced by big Republican donors that could really take the business that you're doing, the work that you're doing, and just help you from a financial standpoint. You could really knock the socks off of this program.
Yes. I think as the time went on, I started realizing, you know, I'm thinking that we're really all on the same team. And it's just, you know, conservative Republicans, and it's against the Democrats and liberals, socialism and all of that. But you come to find out that there's people on our team that really don't back what the president says. So it's almost like a spy. It feels treasonous to me. Like, how can you be a conservative Republican and not be 100% behind what this man says? And so that was interesting for me, too. And I think that's why they didn't get on the level. They wasn't doing what President Trump said. And I felt like he was telling me directly, but I was in a room of 100, you know, people, VIP, when he was saying, hey, this is what I want you guys to do to help me and my movement, to help, that's going to help America and Americans as a whole. And so I just wanted to do my part.
And it seemed like it would be a no-brainer. That you would come to Colorado. You were in, and the president asked you to go to different battleground states. You decided to come back to Colorado because you grew up here.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like a no-brainer that you would have people lined up to help a black new conservative who's been in the entertainment business for many years. It seems like people would be lining up to help and support, but that's not been the case. And in order to get the bus wrapped, it was really the grassroots. And I think that that's still going to be a place where everyday people can help you with the work that you're doing. You're moving a little bit to IMA. And
right.
I've thought IMA can be so many different things. I'm
right.
a lover of this country. IMA, so many different things.
Right.
And certainly we've got proposals, or you have proposals out there,
mm-hmm.
Regarding it'd be great to get some big funders. I think still the grassroots. Are, I know that they want to help. So how can people help you?
You can still go to imatrumpster.com, but when you donate, you know, you'll see the I'm a Super PAC page. It'll you know, forward you over to there. Or you can go directly to IMA Super PAC, SUPERPAC.com. So imasuperpac.com, and you can help donate there. Our movement now is to do what we're doing with I'm a Trumpster. We got the bus. If we have to rewrap it, rebrand it, but IMA is the key, and we're going to reach the youth. That's one thing we found out here, that we don't have enough youth involved in the Republican Party. So we're going to use to do videos, podcasts, music, you know, all those type of things, and as well as being out in the neighborhoods, passing out media, paraphernalia, merchandise, and all that, and just get them excited and on a basis. And that's what was working. It was, even with I'm a Trumpster, look at all the noise that we made and how many people can, and some big brass people are starting to come around, I think.
Well, and people, again, can go to I'm a Super PAC, mm-hmm. to help you with that. It's I'm a Super PAC. And I'm excited about what's going to happen, because truly, it is the American spirit to not give up. And Reggie, you are a true American. You are not giving up. And you see this, you know, this great question out there of economic political freedom versus dependency and destruction. And we're going to work towards freedom.
Right.
When we come back, I'd like to talk about another one of your projects, and that is My Mission Hope. And before we go to break, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, is on the line. Hey, Jason, Happy New Year. Welcome. What's on your mind this New Year's Day 2021?
Well, I'm wondering, you know, first, was Steve able to pull himself off the floor of the bar and make it to work today? Or
He's sitting behind the board, so that's a good thing.
How's he look? Tickled or no?
No, he looks good.
Okay, you guys.
Well, we just wanted to make sure.
You guys are too much. I take my headset off just for a second, and bam, I got nailed.
Should teach you to protect yourself at all times.
That's right. Jason, let's talk a little bit about 2020. It was a wild year. But yet the markets, I mean, I remember when the whole COVID thing started to break and the market, I mean, it went down significantly. And I remember our conversations. I could feel knot in my tummy, but then they came back. What did the markets do? I think that people would like to know.
Well, it's actually quite surprising how the markets did for 2020. And again, if you'd have looked at just the news and everything that was happening and not known what the markets actually did, I think a lot of people would just be shocked. But kind of bringing up the bottom of the barrel, actually, Kim, the Dow was up 6% for the year. And I say bringing up the bottom of the barrel because small caps were up 14%. The S&P was up 15%. And NASDAQ was up 43% for the year.
Really?
Yes.
That's hard to believe. Did you happen to take a look? I mean, that had to be quite a swing from the lows that it hit back in the springtime.
It was a huge swing. And again, the numbers I'm given is just what it did for
year over year,
the calendar year. I mean, NASDAQ got down as low as about 6,600 at the bottom in March. And, it's pushing 13,000 now. So, you know, NASDAQ more than doubled off of the bottom, off of the lows.
Boy, what a wild year 2020 has been. So go ahead. So, compare all of the different indices then.
Well, I didn't look at every single one, Kim, but we did want to look at some that would be interesting. Japan, the Nikkei was up 16%. China was a little bit of a mixed bag. The Shanghai index was up 12%, but the Hang Seng was down about 6%. And then you add the Europe index, and this is measured by an ETF. The EFA was up about 6% for the year. So, a lot of things actually did really, really well for the year, but there was a very large difference between types of stocks. So large growth overall, just that whole category as measured by Morningstar, was up about 39% this year, Kim, while small cap value, which is the opposite corner of the field, was down 20% this year. So again, you look at the indexes and your account may not have done anywhere near the same thing, but it's because you own a lot of different stocks in there. So you probably shouldn't be comparing your account to just the Dow, nor just the NASDAQ, or just one of the indexes, because most people own a diversified mix of different kinds of stocks. So you might have ended up somewhere in between.
Well, and I always think diversification is a very good idea. And some really interesting information. We've got 2021 ahead of us, Jason McBride. And as I look back on 2020, I get to work with a lot of really great people. And Jason McBride, you with Presidential Management, you are one of those. I greatly appreciate your partnership. I wish a very happy new year to you and your family. And 2021, let's roll up our sleeves. We've got a lot of work to do.
Yep, and I'll make my prediction for 2021 a year from today.
Okay, Jason McBride, we will talk to you next week, and Happy New Year.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
K
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests as our most recent podcast and our most recent op-eds. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And a special day, New Year's Day. We've made it through 2020. We're looking into 2021. And Hal Van Herkey, Castlegate Knife and Tool, looking back, 2020's been wild.
It was a crazy year for sure. And you can't say that there was anything much to be celebrating in 2020, but we're very blessed and fortunate, thanks to you and your listeners and to our loyal customers. The fourth quarter, at least, was very good for us.
Good.
From a business standpoint and from a family standpoint. And looking forward to a new year, obviously, and hoping that a lot of this doesn't continue on into, you know, to this year. Mm-hmm. And look to take that momentum we had in the fourth quarter and continue to grow. And we focus on the customer. We focus on the human values and in the traditional American values in our business. And I think that helps. And so looking forward to more of the same from the fourth quarter, at least. Yeah.
And we need to support this entrepreneurship, this big middle class. As we look into 2021, we need to engage in the battle of ideas that's raging out there. We need to get our brains around this American idea so that we can preserve and protect it. And we do that with this show, Hal Van Herkey, and it's an independent voice. And one of the reasons we get to do this is because of our partnership. And I so thank you and your family for this.
Well, thank you. We enjoy the opportunity. And I think that 2020, maybe the word of 2020 would have been caution, but I think for 2021, maybe at minimum, it needs to be vigilance. And I think that we need to be vigilant and keep an eye on our government this year. You know, I think that has to be one of our major themes, and continue to push for freedom on a personal level by keeping our eye on government.
Well, and on that 2020, it used to be when I started this show that people would say they're busy. Things were prospering. They were thriving. I'm not into politics. People realize that politics is into you. And I think the word vigilance is a very good word.
I think that's a good theme for this year.
I think it is. So go to castlegate.com for more information about this great family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. I wish you, Hal, and your family a very prosperous 2021.
Same to you. Thank you.
In studio with me is my friend Reggie Carr, founder of I'm a Trumpster, continuing on with the I'm a Super PAC. And Reggie, I don't know if you sleep very much.
I don't.
Because I can talk to you early in the morning. I know you're up late at night, but you're always doing something. But another thing that people, I don't think, know is this love that you have for our fellow man. And you have founded, and it's been in existence for 4, 5, 6 years, and that's My Mission Hope. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a nonprofit organization. How it got started was my mother have always been a giving person. And my significant other at the time, she did the same thing. And I was watching them, and I'm just like, you know, my mom always does this, so let me show you guys how to do something on a broader scale to help you know, a much more people. And they're like, great. So then I sat down and I came, devised a plan, a name, and all this stuff. And I got a 501c3, and it was approved. And then I went out and physically went to different companies, you know, trying to bidding for it. Like, I need a contract. I need you to donate to this. I need to blah, 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 blah. And several of them did. Bimbo Breads was like one of the biggest ones. And then the Rescue Mission. And so I became a what they call a partner. And how that works is they're a huge organization. So you have farmers and Walmarts and Targets and everybody donating to their organization, but they need organizations like mine that are independent that come in and get all the stuff from the warehouse and distribute it throughout the city. And so if I don't get it,
it's like sweat. Doing the sweat stuff.
Totally sweat, you know. And again, all out my own pocket and my own time and everything. But you know, that's, you know, I love helping my fellow man. Because when I came back to Colorado, my mother is the reason why, because she was ill. And when I got here, I was like, what happened to my city? I mean, it's so many homeless people here, so many people that's hungry and out in the streets. And I'm not just talking about, you know, like, I'm not going to say, I'll say transient because I don't like the word bum. But the bottom line, it's middle class families that were out in the street and kids, people sitting on there with their kids on the corner. I've never seen that. Like, I would come back and forth to visit Colorado because this is my home. My job was in Atlanta, and then Colorado changed. So I said, I got to do something.
And so you started My Mission Hope, and you would go out and get food, and then you would go distribute this. And I've seen videos. You would actually distribute it directly to people.
Yes. And that's what I wanted to do. I want to make sure that once I got the product, whatever it was, that I was in control of it. So I would go into, again, like we're doing with the bus, I'm a Trump star, I'd go into minority neighborhoods, poor, and I'd sit and talk with the manager real quick and say, hey, we're going to bring a bunch of food here. And he was, oh, great, great. And he'd put it and post it on the bulletin board. And then we pulled up, and it was tons of people out there just waiting for us. And so myself and I, I'd have a lady by the name of Elizabeth Tedesi, and then my Ron, my neighbor, and they would come with me to unload all of this stuff into the neighborhoods. I mean, kids, and it didn't matter if you were Democrat or Republican. This was about a people thing. I wasn't even deep in the politics at all. This was just about how can I help feed these people. And I've had so many stories and experiences that warm the heart, that can bring tears to your eyes, that, you know, and you're helping. And so it didn't, I loved it. And I'm going to keep doing this, because my mother taught me you don't have to be a millionaire to make a difference in the world today. So that's what I do.
Well, you're making a big difference, and you made a big difference. Let's just talk about one story that I know really touched your heart this last Christmas. So share with us what you can about that.
Okay, my sister, who's a Democrat, by the way, she called her, I believe she called the high school where her son goes to, and said, hey, is there anything, you know, for the season that I can donate some money or anything to help somebody out? And the principal said, hey, I'm glad you called. There's a family that's fell through the cracks. And then so he gave her, I guess, a social worker's number. And my sister called that number out the blue. And she was there, wasn't even supposed to be there. And she answered it. And my sister said, hey, what's going on? She goes, yeah, I'm glad you called. And yes, we have a family that fell through the cracks, a family of like 6 or 7, I believe. And she goes, well, what do you mean? What do they need? He goes, they need a lot. And I'll send you a list of the fire department wasn't able to, for some reason, help them. Or they, when she say fell through the cracks, I mean through the system. So, but they needed immediate assistance. So my sister looked at the list, and at the top of the list of all these things that they needed right away, food was at the top of the list.
Okay.
And so she called me instantly and said, Reg, I need you to help me. I need you to do this to help this family, blah, 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 blah. And I haven't talked to my sister like we used to talk, because we've been at battle, because I'm a Trumpster all the way. And but, you know, my mom had both of us, and she instilled those values in both of us. So to make a long story short, I went, she called me, I went down and I picked up, I did my pickups and all that stuff, and I did a lot.
So you had the list and you worked off the list.
I had a list, and then I doubled, then I tripled it. And then I loaded it all up. I went twice that week, and then I told my sister, I said, congratulations, you have enough food to feed an army. Mm-hmm. And they drove from Colorado Springs down to load it up. Mm-hmm. And so I helped them load it up, and they went down there, and the lady had called the family, the wife of the family that needs, had called my sister again and told her husband really to call and said, hey, look, we want to make sure we don't fall through the cracks, you know. And he said, I know you guys are helping. And my sister, I talked to him, said, Wednesday, I'm going to bring you something. But they called before Wednesday. And so when they hung up on the phone, my brother, my sister, his wife, and everybody said, look, this man is, you know, he's asking for help. He knows Wednesday they're coming, but he's calling early. So let's get this to them.
So we better do something, huh?
Early, right? So my sister took all that stuff, sorted it, everything at her house, and she took it over there. And when she took it over there, the guy came. He opened up the garage door, and it was a little, like, five-year-old kid there in diapers, and she knew food was coming, and mm-hmm. she was waiting for mm-hmm. the food. And then when he seen how much product that we had brought, he just broke into tears, a grown man. And I wasn't there. My sister started crying and everybody crying, and it was just, he was so thankful. He's like, how can I repay this? And who do I talk to and thank besides but you? And my sister said, hey, this came from my brother's organization, and he doesn't need to talk to you. He doesn't even need to know your name. This is what he does in honor of his mom, and this is how we help people when we can do it. And he was just flabbergasted, and they unloaded all that stuff, and they had food for the holidays. So probably 3 months, easy.
Well, and Reggie, you and I talked after that, and I know that this really touched your heart. I know it was fulfilling to know that you had the opportunity to help them. But I think you and I also are like, how is this happening in the United States of America?
I don't know, Kim. That's where I come to you and ask you these questions, because yes, it touched me dearly. I was in tears. I could barely talk when I was talking to you. I'm like, how is this happening here? What do we do? And I just start thinking about my mother, and I just like, we just gotta work together. You know, we gotta work together. I don't care what side of the fence you are. When it comes to humanity, we are the same. And so I believe that if we can just tear down that barrier and help people, put them where they need to be, give them that chance, we could just do so much better as a nation.
Well, and that is really the American idea. And the American idea has lifted so many people out of poverty. But what you have done there is, it wasn't a government program that showed up. It was you, your sister, your brother, families that showed up. And that is how I think charity is really supposed to work. If people want to help you with this important work, how can they do that, Reggie?
They can go to mymissionhope.org. That's mymissionhope.org. And please look through all the pictures and videos, and you'll see what's going on. And you can donate right there. I have a couple of people that I call, like when I load up and I grab everything, and if I have a specific place, I'll call somebody and they'll help me physically unload mm-hmm. what I need to do and do what I need to do at that location. And it's never government. It has nothing to do with it. It's always what I choose. I go to the women's shelter. I go to people's homes. I go to neighborhoods. I go to apartment complexes. And whatever I have on that day, and I get rid of everything. If I have anything left, I go to my house and I call my neighbors. And you know, like there's a neighbor that lives like to the west of us, and he's in the military, and I thank him for his service all the time. And he has two daughters, I believe, a daughter and a son or something. And I say, hey, come on over and grab. I got this stuff left, blah, 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 blah. Because once I take it out of there, it's with me. That's responsibility and contract. So I say, come on over. So I end up feeding the rest of the neighborhood, too, with what I have left. So it's been good.
And money-wise, you don't have a big paid staff, right?
No, there is no staff. It's just me. I'm the forklift driver. I'm the driver. I'm the deliverer. I'm the stocker. I go out and get the contracts. I do it all myself.
And it's because you have a heart for our fellow man.
Yes, that's it.
And so let's go to break, Reggie Carr. When we come back, I want to talk about Jackie Carr, your mother, who has inspired you to become the man that you are. So we'll be right back with Reggie Carr.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. It's kimmunson.com and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And one of the blessings of 2020 for me was a new friendship with Reggie Carr. He's the founder of I'm a Trumpster. Now he's moving on to looking into the future of where we can fill in the blank. I'm a conservative. I'm a lover of this country. I'm a person that cares about my fellow man. There's so many different things that you have. The sky's the limit with this new IMA.
Correct.
Reggie. But I wish that I would have known your mother. I saw a picture that I think you had on Facebook of her on a deck. What a beautiful woman. Jackie Carr, she's one of your big inspirations. She passed on. How long ago was that, Reggie?
January 9th. It'll be 2 years, and it still seems like 2 days.
And you came back to help take care of her. You have a successful music production company in Atlanta, but you came back to help care for her with your brother and your sister, correct?
Correct. It took all of us because of the disease. She had a special strand of Parkinson's, and you could just see, you know, how was it affecting her and how she was decreasing. But so the main thing, you know, it took all of us because, you know, they work. You know, they don't have their own company.
They don't have the flexibility.
Right,
like
they don't
did.
Have the flexibility. So I instantly came in there and came back and we took, you know, to take care of her.
And she was inspirational. Tell us about Jackie Carr.
She actually, this is going to be hard for me, but in her family, she had 12 brothers and sisters. And now, in those times, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult now. So imagine those times, especially for our people.
Here in Colorado, or where did she grow up?
She was in Missouri.
Okay.
And her mother had to pull her out of school in the seventh grade to help take care of the other kids.
Okay.
And so my mom read a lot. She took care. So she was really an adult at a young age. And she ended up meeting my father and getting married. But very smart. During those times, she was writing, reading, playing music. She was just, you know, spent a lot of time on her and helping.
Self-educating, though.
Yes, self-educating. Uh-huh. Got married, moved to Colorado, had a family, and they got divorced. Unfortunately, they got divorced because my mother was so... She was a homebody. She was about family. My father wasn't really ready to be married and have those type of responsibilities. So long story short, we lived in the ghetto, really. And my mom's like, we got to get out of here. We got to get my kids to a better place for education. And we moved to Northland. And my father did help us at least do that. And a couple of years after that, they got divorced and he left. But her whole essence and everything that I am come from that. And I'm glad. I've experienced racism. So when people say President Trump is a racist, you can't tell me who a racist is. I lived it. I went to an all-white school by myself.
Do you think he's a racist?
Oh, not even close. Not even close. Okay. And racism is taught. And then once you get past those barriers, And you understand that you I had enemies. Like, I was the only person, like, in the elementary school from kindergarten to sixth until my brother came.
You were the only black kid.
Only black kid. And I went through a lot of hardships, getting jumped. The first night we lived there in our neighborhood, bricks or rocks came through the window, shattering the glass. And we woke up. My mom woke us up in the morning because we didn't hear it. And we were covered in glass. And so, but those experiences I cherish, and I wouldn't change any of them because it made me stronger. And I seen how strong my mother was. So you're talking about someone that seventh grade education,
self-taught,
but no license. She didn't know how to drive. She didn't everywhere. She worked her butt off, like, you know, day and night. Took the bus, and then remember the blizzard of '82? Mm-hmm. Whoa, she was in the snow working at a company. Come in there and. She just made sure we had everything, and she said, no matter what, treat people like how you want to be treated, and, you know, and trouble won't find you. Trouble tries to find you, but she kept me out of trouble by just being, you know, real. You be real, be truthful, and if you don't start trouble, usually you won't get any trouble. You conquer that with love, and that's her whole ideology of how to live. And respond to other people that don't agree with you or don't like you for one reason or another.
And so there's three kids in the family. Mm-hmm. And where do you fall in the family?
I'm the eldest.
Okay. And you still, as you mentioned, it'll be January 9th that she will have been passed on for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And you miss her, but yet you feel, I think, compelled to live a legacy for her as well.
Oh, most definitely. Like this Christmas, I spent my Christmas morning at her gravesite. I took the Christmas presents that were given to me, and I brought my bass guitar up there and the camera and the selfie stick. And I opened up the presents with my mom on Christmas morning. And then after I did that, I went straight back home. That was my Christmas. And that was the best Christmas I've had in a long time.
Well, Reggie Carr, we've got maybe about 4 minutes left, and the legacy of your mother. We see that play out in, first of all, the man that you are continuing to search for truth and real justice, dignity, passing on political, economic freedom to the next generation. These are goals that I think are inherently American. What's your thoughts about that?
Completely. And I don't understand why the rest of the other side, we'll put it that way, don't get that. So I think the key is, you know, like I said, economic freedom, but also education. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. What President Trump has done to me, that'll last for the rest of my life. So
once
there
freedom
is no
instilled, once you understand that, then you can't really go back from that. And you and I both feel a real responsibility about what we pass on, not only to our fellow man, but also to the next generation. Reggie Carr, we're just about out of time. What is the final thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners? You're a remarkable man regarding the founding of I'm a Trumpster and now I'm a Super PAC and my mission hope and the love that you have for your mother and your family and your fellow man. What on this New Year's Day 2021 would you like to leave with our listeners?
I'd like to have peace on earth, but peace through strength. And I believe this coronavirus thing, it's above my paycheck, my pay grade, but I don't believe that it's as deadly as they try to make it. I think it's President Trump is really uncovering, you know, really what was going on for the future. So I believe that if we just stick together and get the truth and the knowledge, we'll be able to, you know, persevere through 2021. I think it's going to get pretty crazy here, you know, around the 6th or the 20th. But I just hope that we can keep this man in office because he's a great leader and his values. And if he's not in office, he's going to have a bunch of people like me that's willing to step up and still carry his message and willing to do anything that we need to do to make sure that it reaches the people.
Well, and one other quick point on that is here we have had this election question regarding fraud and irregularities, and the Trump supporters have not burned down one building. They've not burned down one business, and I think that people should take a look at that and realize that, as you mentioned, we want peace. We want to be able to live peaceably, but also to have the right to keep the benefits of our private property. And it's just been really great having you here, Reggie Carr. I wish you a very blessed and prosperous 2021. And I'm so grateful that our paths have met. And I know that it's going to be an exciting year.
I do, Kim. And I don't know how much time we have, but I'm glad you brought that up. If you don't mind, I need to say this.
Sure.
I was always taught that the Republican Party was full of, you know, hicks and evil people and people that want to shoot and kill you and destroy things. And it's totally the opposite. The truth of the matter is that the Republican Party, the conservatives, are the most peaceful, God-fearing, loving their country people that I've ever met. And all the destruction and tyranny comes from the other side, the left, socialists and Democrats and all of that, every burning down and killing and all that. Every rally I've ever been, I've always been accepted to, even when they didn't even know I was the Trumpster. They always showed me love. But every time I go, or if I go with what I believe or I want to, and I go to the left, they attack you. They try to use violence, and it's a total facade. The Conservative Party is the party of peace and love and God.
Well, Reggie Carr, you're a remarkable man, and I'm proud to call you my friend.
Kim the Great. I love you too.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And our quote for today is from Walter Williams. And he said, "The founders knew that a democracy would lead to some kind of tyranny. The term democracy appears in none of our founding documents. Their vision for us was a republic and a limited government." My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, Happy New Year. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.